Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The countdown continues for the Rio Olympics in Brazil. We're now 45 days away to the opening ceremony at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. The International Olympic Committee announced a 5-point anti-doping plan on Tuesday after meeting in Lausanne, Switzerland. The IOC says Russian and Kenyan athletes will be evaluated individually to determine their eligibility to compete in the Rio Games. A blanket ban was upheld against Russian track and field athletes, but not for the whole Russian Olympic team. During a news conference Tuesday, IOC President Thomas Bach said the committee has, and I quote, serious doubts on the presumption of innocence of athletes from Russia and Kenya. Bach said athletes who are evaluated will have to prove they are clean by means of international tests or tests supervised and approved by international authorities. Those who are deemed clean will be eligible to compete under the Russian flag and the Kenyan flag at the Rio Olympics in August. The IOC announcement clears the way for Russian and Kenyan athletes deemed clean by the International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF, to compete in Rio. Meanwhile, IOC President Thomas Bach recently visited some of the sports facilities in Rio de Janeiro, and he gave an update on the velodrome where the Olympic track cycling will take place.
Our experts and from everybody tells me that the velodrome also will be ready for the Olympic Games, and that already at the end of this month you will see training sessions to test the track. So it will be an effort until the last minute, like many things. But at the end, I'm really absolutely confident that everything will come together.
Bach also said he believes Rio will be better off for having hosted the Olympics and the Paralympics this year.
If you look at the new port, if you look at the new hotels and the shops, which have been created and will be created by this enhancement of the tourism industry. If you look at the social legacy, you have seen these children today who are participating in sports and Olympic education programs. If you look at the programs of making 1 million Brazilians familiar with English and so on and so on, then I think you can really say there will be a much better Rio de Janeiro after the Olympic Games 2016.
That's International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach speaking in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. While the IOC chief paints a positive picture of the legacy of Rio 2016, the news out of the city recently has not been good, especially on the financial front. Joining us now from Rio with more details is our friend Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Not a surprise, but with significant impact, the announcement of calamity decreed by the state government of Rio has stolen headline news in front of everything else. It has been a predicted tragedy and just happened a few weeks from the opening ceremony. Will the Olympic Games take place? Hard to believe, but this is a question in the air. The alleged reasons for the state to hit rock bottom, according to the interim governor, 81 years old, diagnosed with Alzheimer's, Francisco Dornelis, are the oil crisis, reduced income, and recession. Dornelis said in a press conference, "The financial situation of Rio is tragic. The rescue to honor Olympic commitments was requested to the interim federal government, who says will try his best to help Rio." On the same day, the mayor of the city declared that the state has nothing to do with the Olympics proceedings. All is in place and it will be a success. We must recollect an email from his spokesman replying to our questions in February this year. How is the situation of mobility implementations, health, and security? We had a clear reply saying that the city is just the manager monitoring the construction and partnership with private sponsors, and all the questions should be made to the state and federal government. Attending international journalists in regards to the calamity announcement, Mr. Arthur Nussmann, the president of Brazilian Olympic Committee, said,
The organization is going well. The venues are ready. The visit of the president of the International Committee is very important. They give his advice, support, and it's always important.
All this has happened mid last week when the Secretary of Security of the State of Rio said in a press meeting that a kill of a drug lord in the border of Brazil and Uruguay opened a venue for São Paulo drug dealers to take over Rio's route, and that will increase crime in Rio. One day after he said that, 25 criminals assaulted a public hospital with army heavy guns and grenades to rescue a drug dealer leader in custody threatened from being shot by the police weeks earlier. Not only all this jeopardized the Olympics and society at large. Also last week, Jihad Rahib was declared fugitive by Uruguay officials, said to flee to Brazil through the slack border. Jihad Ahmed Mustafa Rahib, a would-be Syrian condemned to death in Syria, ex-detainee on Guantanamo prison for 12 years, has been transferred to Uruguay as part of the agreement to release U.S. Army Sergeant Bowie Bergdahl. On the sports side, among all these other events, not even the popular soccer in Brazil occupies front page. Actually, instead of that, the historical Cleveland Cavalier NBA victory splashed huge headlines with LeBron's picture.
Right now, it's just excitement. It's just excitement for us as a team, as a franchise, as a city, as a community, to be able to continue to build up our city, continue to be an inspiration to our city. It means everything, and it's going to be the biggest party that Cleveland has ever seen, ever.
The Olympic athletes are arriving every day, isolated by their delegation's procedures, focused on their goals for the competitions ahead. Among those who are positive mindset are the American sailing athletes, training consistently daily on the beautiful Guanabara Bay, and seen on their free time rowing Hawaiian canoes and posting happy notes on social media. I am Luis Piazzi for the Sony Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Turning to international football, action is continuing at the Copa America Centenario here in the United States and the European Championship in France. Joining us now with an update is VOA sports reporter Jonah Haskell. Sporty greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Starting at the Euros, Wales and England have punched their tickets to the knockout stages as they played their final group stage matches on Monday. Wales looked great in a 3-0 drubbing of Russia as Gareth Bale became the first player since 2004 to score in all three group stage matches at the Euros. That result gives Wales 6 points, enough for first in Group B, while England played Slovakia to a 0-0 draw, securing second in the group with 5 points. Slovakia may still advance as one of the top four third-place teams, but Russia is eliminated with just 1 point from 3 games. Group C is in action Tuesday as Northern Ireland seeks to become the third UK team to advance as they face Germany in Paris, while Poland will take on Ukraine in Marseille. Germany and Poland currently top the group with 4 points each. Northern Ireland is third with 3, and Ukraine is in the cellar with 0. Group D will also play Tuesday as Turkey and the Czech Republic face each other in Lens, and Spain will play Croatia in Bordeaux. The Turks and the Czechs will both be playing with their survival in mind, as they have only 1 point between the two of them so far. Spain, on the other hand, is already through with 6 points, and Croatia, who have 4, need only a draw to secure their advancement. And Croatian fans in Bordeaux for the match are excited.
We expect a lot of goals, for sure, and for Croatia to win, of course, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be a good game, for sure.
Well, let's hope it is, but that means that fans will have to refrain from interfering with the game. In Croatia's 2-2 draw against the Czech Republic last week, Croatian fans caused play to be stopped for 10 minutes when they began throwing lit flares on the field. Burnt patches were left in the grass where they landed, and one thrown object even exploded as an attendant tried to remove it. As a result, UEFA has fined Croatia €100,000 and placed a suspended ban on selling tickets to Croatian ultras. That incident seems to be just a continuation of the violence and unrest that has marred these European championships from the beginning.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Across the Atlantic in the United States, the Copa America is in full swing, with the first semifinal between the United States and Argentina kicking off Tuesday at 8 p.m. local time in Houston, Texas. Argentina is heavily favored over the hosts, who will be without 3 key players due to yellow cards, but the U.S. team has been pretty stingy throughout the Copa so far, allowing only 1 goal after their opening game and only 3 in 4 games overall. But the Argentinian attack is headlined by Lionel Messi and Angel Di Maria and has scored 14 goals in just 4 Copa games. Argentina is trying to reach the Copa America final for the second straight year, while the U.S. is seeking their first ever appearance. The winner of tonight's match will face the winner of the other semifinal between Chile and Colombia that will be played on Wednesday at Soldier Field in Chicago. The Copa America final is on Wednesday, June 26th at MetLife Stadium near New York City. I'm VOA's Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Jonah. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page today, Tuesday, you'll see a photo of IOC President Thomas Bach, who we heard from earlier in the show. Bach is shown walking in the Olympic Village in Rio de Janeiro with two members of the first Olympic refugee team, Yolande Mabika and Popole Misenga, who are both from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mabika and Misenga will both compete in the Olympic judo competition. Earlier in a report by Luis Piazza, we heard from LeBron James, the unanimous choice as most valuable player of the recent National Basketball Association finals. And LeBron said Cleveland better brace itself for the biggest party this city has ever seen. Big parade scheduled on Wednesday in Cleveland. And joining us now is VOA sports reporter Tadi Abeje. Tadi, when will this big parade set off in Cleveland?
It will set off tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern time.
I think it's safe to say, Tadi, that this will be one of the biggest sports festivities the city of Cleveland has ever seen.
Yes, that's true. Because the last time the Cleveland sports team won a championship, the Cleveland Browns of American football, they did not have a championship parade. So this, the Cavaliers will become the first team in franchise history to have a parade in their city.
You know, I was thinking, Tadi, you mentioned the 1964 Cleveland Browns who won the National Football League title. The big star of that team was Jim Brown. You think we're going to see Jim Brown at the parade?
Oh, absolutely, because he and LeBron are two of the most iconic figures in the city of Cleveland.
Thank you very much, Tadi Abeje. And Tadi will be closely following that big parade on Wednesday in Cleveland. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Andrew, welcome back. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
Well, let's stick with the NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers and specifically that MVP LeBron James. Now, LeBron's captured a lot of social media attention when he got off the plane, which we were talking about yesterday. Gets off the plane in Cleveland, and what is he wearing? He's wearing a blue shirt that says Ultimate Warrior on it in yellow. So the Golden State Warrior colors, even though he plays for Cleveland, and it's Ultimate Warrior. So a lot of speculation on social media that was kind of a dig at Golden State that he wore that shirt. Now, we talked about LeBron's blackout on social media all through the playoffs, that he isn't on Twitter or he can shut down all his accounts, so he said he can focus on winning. Well, he's back on social media now, and now that they've won, he's reactivated everything, and he's actually posted a rant on Instagram. He posted a picture of him holding the Larry O'Brien trophy, and he goes on to say that, call out all of the people who said he didn't have the instinct, he didn't have the energy or the explosiveness or the drive to win this. And he basically says, well, look, I proved you wrong. And he has all these hashtags. He says, hashtag strive for greatness, hashtag put some respect on my name, hashtag this one is for the land. So he has all these hashtags he puts at the end to basically say to the haters out there, you know what, you thought I couldn't do it, you said it wasn't gonna happen, and guess what, it did.
Great comeback by LeBron. Third time he's lifted that NBA championship trophy. Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. I posted a quote at my Facebook page, and I'm going to rule out Jonah Haskell, Tadi Abeje, and Ben Cento because they know the answer to this question. I'm going to put Andrew Palcheski on the line, see if he can name the man who said this quote. Enthusiasm is everything. It must be taught and vibrating like a guitar string. Now, I'll give you a hint, Andrew. It's a pretty well-known soccer player.
Oh, gosh. Talk about putting me on the spot. I mean, it's...
He's Brazilian. Maybe that'll help.
There's a lot of good Brazilian soccer players. And Pelé. Soccer is not my forte. Of course, I should have said Pelé. But I was thinking,
the great,
you know,
Pelé.
Of course, Pelé. But,
I don't know whether he plays guitar, but he compares enthusiasm to a guitar string.
Well, let me tell you, I'll speak to something I can't, you know, that is in my wheelhouse, which is the social media. You know, the two trending hashtags right now, you know, I went on to look at what was trending, and I saw these two hashtags, Nerger and Euchre Poll.
Okay.
Right. So I'm like,
put me on the spot. What does that mean?
Well, yeah, you know what? Thank you for that idea. I'm going to put you on the spot. So we'll start with, we'll go through the answer for one of them, and that maybe give you a hint for the other one. So Nerger, N-I-R-G-E-R.
N-I-R-G-E-R. No idea what that hashtag means.
Well, that is Northern Ireland, Germany. They're playing right now in the Euro Cup. So we're
Northern Ireland, Germany.
Yes,
okay.
So they were seeing
those are the country codes.
So those are the two country codes, and they stick them together, and that's how they get the hashtags. And so we're seeing that trending today as they're playing. Already before the match even started, there was a trending video where you have these kids that come out and they hold the flags for the countries and they kind of wave on the pitch. And this kid is doing the dab. He's kind of doing this, you know, thing, which is the hip hop move that, of course, Cam Newton, the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, he made famous.
That's
and he
right.
does that after any time he scores a touchdown. Victoria Azarenka, who's a big Cam Newton fan, she does that when she wins her matches now. There's some soccer players who do that. So
Maybe Pele.
So that kid, you know, already, even before the match started, that kid was trending on social media. So Nerger is Northern Ireland, Germany. So the other one was Ukrpol, U-K-R-P-O-L. So we'll see if you can get that one.
Okay, I think I can guess that one based on the previous one. If we're going to go with country codes, U-K-R-P-O-L, that must be Ukraine and Poland are playing at the Euros.
That is correct. So we're seeing that hashtag trending as well as that match is going on. So this is what we're seeing throughout. As the Euro Cup is going on, we're seeing these different hashtags pop up for the different team matchups. And I have a feeling tonight here in the U.S. we're going to see USA ARG or ARG USA as the United States and Argentina play off in the semifinals of the Copa America.
And speaking of that big semifinal match, I know VOA sports reporter Ben Cento will be watching tonight's Argentina-USA match in Houston. What do you expect from the Americans, Ben?
I think if Coach Jurgen Klinsmann can set the lineup right with the absence of Jermaine Jones, Bobby Wood, and other key players for the U.S., if he can set it up right, the USA could shock Argentina. But if not, it could end up being pretty ugly for the U.S.
Pretty ugly, maybe messy with a few goals?
It could be. He's averaging 2 goals a game so far in the tournament, so it could really be ugly.
Well, let's hope it's not an ugly scoreline, Ben, and go USA.
Go USA, that's right.
we're seeing on social media that's kind of starting to ramp up already. We're seeing a lot of red, white, and blue. We're seeing a lot of eagles. There aren't a lot of, I don't know what the imagery will be of the USA versus Argentina in terms of animals. I know that there's, you know, some, they have cattle in Argentina. If it's like an eagle attacking a cow or something, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to. It's always something that social media comes up with.
Well, that's interesting, Andrew, because one of the questions I'm sometimes asked by listeners is, what is the official nickname of the U.S. men's national soccer team? And, you know, there really isn't one. Maybe red, white, and blue, the boys in red, white, and blue. Like in Africa, though, they use animals a lot for the nicknames of football teams.
Yeah, we see a lot of that imagery on social media of the bald eagle, of course, the symbol of the United States. So that might be a good one. Maybe the eagle, something eagle-related. That we could do the red, white, and blue eagles. I don't know what they can do for that, but rest assured, social media will come up with something great, and we'll be tracking that match very closely as it happens. Be a lot of back and forth and a lot of excitement for the United States. Anytime they score a goal, hopefully they score a lot of goals, but anytime they score a goal, we'll see a spike in that hashtag. We'll see maybe even some other hashtags develop other than the, you know, ARG USA or USA ARG. We'll see some other ones develop as the players do well, as these key moments happen in the match.
And if the USA can spring an upset, maybe Messi with the crying Jordan meme.
Maybe some crying Messi memes even. We'll see.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. VOA social media reporter Andrew Palcheski. And that wraps up the June 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jackson Witt. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
35 years after first reports began to appear of a terrible new disease known to us today as HIV/AIDS, the medical community has made tremendous progress in controlling the disease. Back in the 1980s, a diagnosis of HIV/AIDS was a death sentence. The life expectancy of an infected person was 2 years. Today, with proper treatment, patients live relatively normal lives. And yet, despite enormous advance in treatment, we have not yet been able to eliminate this scourge. What will it take? One of the greatest obstacles is that treatment is not reaching all populations equally. These are populations at greatest risk, yet they are left behind, pushed further into the shadows in the global HIV/AIDS response, said U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator and U.S. Special Representative for Global Health Diplomacy, Deborah Birx. These are the key populations defined by UNAIDS as gay men and other men who have sex with men, transgender persons, sex workers, people who inject drugs, and prisoners. Speaking at the United Nations high-level meeting on ending AIDS, Ambassador Birx said that for these key populations, we must translate words of concern into immediate actions to ensure that specific barriers are addressed. That is why the United States government, through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, has allocated $100 million to create a Key Populations Investment Fund. It will help to expand access to proven HIV prevention and treatment services for key populations. Among the issues the new fund will address are the lack of acceptance of human rights of all persons, monitoring and mitigation of stigma and discrimination, access to quality services for key populations, collection of data by subgroups of key populations, and improving the capacity of key populations-led, community-based organizations who advocate for change in policies and also directly implement services. It is unacceptable that key populations still face stigma, discrimination, and violence, which impede their ability to access quality HIV services. PEPFAR stands firmly and unequivocally with and for key populations, said Ambassador Birx, and we are deeply committed to protecting and promoting their health and human rights.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Today on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou discusses innovation and global health with David Fleming, Vice President of Public Health, PATH. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC. Right here on VOA Africa.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one, I this one, I
every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.